Okay. So, the first question I have is, how did you find out about St. Gregory's?
Well, I had been at St. Mary of the Lake for 32 years, and the COVID came, and things kind of quieted down, and I had turned, I'm 80 now, I had turned over 75, so I was supposed to retire.
Okay.
And I was bored to death, and the pastor at that time, Father Paul Walkdog, called me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm really going crazy." But he said, "Would you like to come here?" And I said, "I would. I'd love to come there." Because I had a history here, too. My two adopted sons, you'll see them at the top. They went to high school here.
Okay.
They're way at the top next to Father Paul. They're 50 now, 48. And so I knew the parish because all during their 7 years, a seven-year span, because they're not twins, I did the bingo games. Parents had to do all that. So I knew the parish.
Okay.
And I'd play the organ every so often for the organist when he would have a vacation.
Yeah.
So I knew the parish, and I said, "Well, this would be a good place." And that's how I came here.
Okay, that's really cool. We've read a lot about the history of the parish for the project and the school. So how did you feel the first time you visited the church or even the school? Just what was your first impression of the parish?
Well, this goes back many years, 'cause I've been a deacon for over 45 years now, and I really knew the organist. And I would come and play, I'm going to give you this book when you leave. I would come and play the organ for, as I say, when he'd go on vacations, he needed someone to sub for him. And I knew the parish that way. And then, as I said, my sons had gone to the high school. And then one of the daughters, she went to grammar school here. See that first Holy Communion picture?
Yes.
In the middle? The little girl next to me? Well, that's this church.
Okay.
So she went to grammar school here, and I paid her tuition. So I knew all the grammar school teachers, the high school teachers, and that's how that worked.
Okay. Very cool. What would you say the role of this church in the neighborhood is?
Well, now we don't have a school anymore.
Okay.
The children, like a lot of Catholic schools, we've combined.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and this parish is really part of three parishes. We're part of St. Ida.
Yes.
St. Thomas.
We're working with all three.
Right. And St. Ida is where the school is.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
It's called St. Thomas of Canterbury School, but we use that school building because it's newer and it has a little gym.
Okay, yeah. That's much better than for... How has it, this church... So you've mentioned you've only been with St. Gregory since COVID, but what changes have you noticed besides the merger or kind of with the merger? What changed?
Well, the changes is that the congregation has changed a lot. It was a German, very German parish when it was founded. And then Irish started coming in. So mainly German and Irish. And a lot of families. The school was huge. And between the high school and the grammar school, you had like 600, 700 kids going to school every day. These buildings. So those people they've grown up. They left. And the new generation coming in, a lot of gays to the neighborhood.
Yes, yeah.
A lot of lesbian gals, and they don't have children, most of them.
Yeah.
So that affected.
Oh, the enrollment.
The parish. But the parish still has a good number of those folks coming, they feel welcome and inclusive. So the parish is doing very well, but we only have one Mass Saturday night and one Mass Sunday. So all together, maybe we get 150 people, whereas 10 years ago they had 500 people.
Oh, okay.
But this is something all over the whole country.
Yeah.
With Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists, the church attendance is very low now.
Yeah, we touched on that in class. It's very interesting. Actually, my grandmother's church was featured in one article about it. It is, I think it's St. John of the Cross in Western Springs. Yeah, and it mentioned that one's still doing pretty well, but the attendance is still down. So, other than the lower enrollment, what other challenges has this parish been facing?
Well, financially we're okay because we rent those schools to the public schools.
Oh, okay.
So the rent, it's amazing how the rent keeps us going.
Yeah, that's...
So when you stop to think of it, the building of the schools, they're used for education, and that makes us feel good. They weren't turned into condominiums.
Yeah. what would you say is unique about this parish?
It's very welcoming. It's very open to diversity of peoples, and LGP folks come here and feel welcome.
Okay. And then, so I feel like the history of the parish, it was first mostly German speakers and then more Irish families. What are the demographics like now?
Oh my, the League of Nations. It's really the League of Nations. Now, this site, St. Gregory, is altogether different than St. Ida.
Yeah.
In the sense that Ida has people from every continent of the world.
Oh, okay.
If you were to go to Mass there on Sunday, there's all kinds of people from Africa, Asia, Ukraine. Here, there's some blacks. There are no Spanish here now. They go to Ida.
Oh, okay.
Because that's where the Spanish Mass is.
Oh, okay.
In the neighborhood, there's no Spanish that could afford to live around here.
Yeah, it's a pretty white neighborhood.
A lot of Filipinos.
Okay.
The biggest makeup of an ethnic group is Filipino.
Oh, okay. And then how do you feel about the label of, this is kind of considered to be the biggest like art and cultural center of the three churches of Mary Mother of God merger. How do you feel about that?
Well, it's always had a history of good music.
Yeah.
And then there was the Joseph Malham was the iconographer who spent like 20 years here, and up on the third floor he had his studio, so he'd have icon workshops for the parishioners, and they always had good music, concerts, and they still have good music.
Yeah.
So that's the cultural end of the three parishes. But a lot of it goes on at Ida, too, because of the pipe organ. It's a huge, famous pipe organ.
Okay.
So last Sunday they had a choral concert, but they have also organ concerts there.
Okay.
And that draws a lot of people.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Have you seen these three churches?
I have not been inside it, actually. I was sick.
Well, we're going to go there.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
We're going to go in this one, at least.
And then what kind of responsibilities come with your position at this point?
Well, I do a little of the church decorating, you know, every Sunday to make sure we have nice flowers and nice liturgies and vestments. That's a small part, but then I visit the hospitals a lot. A lot of nursing home visits, cemetery. It's because this parish is an elderly group.
Okay.
So over at Eda is where the school is. So you have the school children. So some of those priests and deacons over there, mostly the priests, they'll go into the school a lot and teach the children. Okay. But my responsibilities are the everyday. I come in the morning and check in and see what's going on, and then I go visit. Like today, I have to go to two nursing homes,
okay,
which are on Foster Avenue. And that takes time.
Yeah, it's pretty busy. So, did you come here post merger or pre merger?
At the merger.
At the merger, okay.
I was here maybe 3 months before they merged.
Okay.
Because they knew they were going to merge.
Oh, so it didn't come as a surprise or anything?
No.
Okay.
And Father Paul, that's him up there, way up at the top picture.
Yeah.
He was the pastor then, Father Paul Walkdorf.
Okay. Was COVID one of the main factors in the merger, or was it something that was being discussed before?
No, it was being discussed because he was leaving his age, his retirement, and there was talk of this parish right here doesn't need a full-time pastor and associate. So then they merged the three of them.
Okay.
The Franciscans agreed to do that.
Okay. Okay, because I know a lot of things didn't survive COVID, but if it was already something that you knew was going to happen.
A lot of churches have merged in Chicago.
Yeah.
All over the city.
Yeah, and a lot of places of worship have changed buildings too, I know.
They changed buildings or they closed.
Okay, let me just, Do you feel like anything, based on what you knew already, did you feel like anything was really lost in the merger of the churches?
No, if anything, I think things were gained because now these people here are interacting with the people at St. Eda. We try to do things jointly together. Because this was, and I'm going to give you this little book, this was the first 75 years. It has a lot of pictures of, there used to be, like talent shows. This was the picture of the carnival. This is the courtyard I'll show you right back there. This is a Ferris wheel out in front of the gymnasium. And this is, I gave you an idea of how big the carnivals were.
That's for fundraising?
Fundraising. Okay. And then, this was bingo.
Yeah.
But it also brought the people together.
Yeah, totally.
For camaraderie and fun. And the people had to run, there were all these talent shows. That was the pastor at the time. And that's the way the old mass was. There's our gym. You see all these kids playing in the gym. The gym was a big factor here. Still is, but the gym is used by the school that rent. And then there are some nights when our kids use the gym. Those are the sisters after they jumped out of the habit. But this gives you some pictures of the Sister Mary McKiernan. Yeah, she was the principal. Pictures of the church. We had a lot of nuns here at that time. There's the high school. That was the high school. Yeah, see, this parish, a lot of the parish, see, these are all the different people ads for this book. Most of those are gone.
Yeah.
They're all gone. But you could have that book.
Oh, thank you. I know somebody gave someone in my group the 50th anniversary book, but I don't think we have this one a copy of.
Mm-hmm. We just don't have too many left.
Yeah, that makes sense. Went to to the archives too, and I scanned some of the documents, but so I have the questions on my phone. Sorry, I'm just pulling them back up. So are you worried about the future with the merger, or do you think that the merger has made it the future a little safer?
Well, it's safer for now.
Yeah.
The diocese is always, this is a study that hasn't, they let it, it's a 5-year study to see how it works. So far, so good. We're paying our bills.
Yeah.
We're not in debt. We seem to be growing. There are more people coming to Mass now.
Oh, okay.
Because see, what hit you is that you had this merger and then COVID.
Yeah.
COVID came. First we merged, and then like 2 weeks later, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So the people didn't get to know us. We had a mask on.
Yeah.
The few people that were not afraid to come to church, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
How would you like it if, you know, your priest or your doctor comes out with a mask on, you don't see them, and they're new?
Yeah. Yeah, it's less personable, definitely. What do you think, or what would you like this to look like in maybe 5 or 10 years then?
Well, I'd like it to look like more participation by the people. See, people are coming out now. They're not afraid.
Yeah.
As I say, we're not just dealing with one campus. We're dealing with three campuses. And when we do have parties, it's amazing, especially the parties at EDA bring people from both together, like we have this outdoor in the parking lot summer festival, and brings out all the Asians, Vietnamese, Laotians, blacks from different parts of the Congo and Africa.
Oh, okay.
You have a lot of Filipinos, and there's 10,000 islands in the Philippines.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of different groups, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We have a lot of funerals. We have some weddings, not a lot here, because as I say, it's an older parish.
Yeah. And about, do you find that you're doing a lot of like baptisms or not?
Yeah.
So, even though it's an older parish?
We have baptisms. We have a lot of baptisms.
Okay.
A lot of people like to come back to their old church.
Yeah.
To be buried or to baptize their children because they were baptized here.
Yeah.
That's all over the diocese.
Oh, okay.
They like to, that's their connection with their old parish.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my mom did that for my baptism, but I'm not sure.
Do you know where you were baptized?
I think it would have been St. John of the Cross, but it was just the pictures I saw, it didn't look familiar. It didn't look like the churches that I had gone to, and 'cause I'm from Evanston. So, so do you feel like the culture of the church has changed a lot with the merger?
This place, the culture, not so much. But EDA, remember, it's one parish, Mary, Mother of God. EDA, yes, because there's so many different ethnic groups there. And they have masses and, you know, they have Laotian masses at EDA, Thomas, EDA, they have two, the blacks from different parts of Africa. They have their different masses. Here, they're pretty much the same. Give you an example of when the Franciscans first came that Sunday that the bishop came and introduced us, a couple of old Germans, especially old-time persons, say, now look, this is the way it is. Don't think you're going to change anything. You know, they won't change anything. You're not going to tear out the altar. You're not going to do anything. This is our church. Ooh. They let us know who were the boss.
Yeah. And I would imagine they've been here for
a long time.
A long time, yeah. So did some of the older people especially kind of resist the merger?
No, they were open to it. It worked very well. Well, Father Bob Cook was the pastor, and I'm pretty friendly, and the other priests were friendly because I had a history here. They kind of knew me because of the school. You know, I had the grammar, the grandchildren were in the grammar school. My own sons were in the high school.
Yeah.
So all those parents used to work the bingo.
Okay.
And I see them.
Yeah.
Because now they're my age who survived.
Hold something up. Sorry about this. So have you made, do you think you've made like a good sense of community here in the past? What is it, 5 years? It seems like COVID was so much more long ago than 5 years.
I think it's 4 years.
Yeah, 2020, yeah. Do you feel like that?
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, that's when it got.
Well, in the beginning, it was hard to tell because, first of all, you couldn't go down there and shake their hands.
Yeah.
At Mass, you were divided. You were over here. You wore a mask. So lately, ever since the masks went off, it seems like things are much better.
Yeah.
Well, psychologically.
Oh, yeah. That was not good for people, no. And the fear that everyone was just so nervous.
It wasn't even that necessary to do all that.
So do you feel like were the churches, did the city at any point during COVID say that you couldn't do Mass in person, or was that open the whole time?
We were, the first couple of weeks, let's put it that way, there were real restrictions. But then we were always spraying down the pews after people left.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't. And then they found out that that wasn't even necessary.
Yeah, because it wasn't much with surfaces. Nothing. Yeah. Oh, everybody wastes a lot of cleaning products. So with younger people in the church, I know you mentioned it's a senior, more of an older demographic. Do you find that they're just more involved with St. Ida's than like? Not the kids, but young adults. Like, what is that like, church life for young adults?
Number of young adults. The seniors are more at that 4:30 Saturday night Mass. But if you come here on a Sunday, there's a lot of young families with children.
Okay.
Most of those children we've baptized in the last 4 years because they're little kids.
Yeah.
So, I think generally people are happy with us. Yeah. Here, maybe this will say something. I just got this email. I'm reading it. And this guy named Mateo. I had the privilege of attending your church last January while I was staying in Chicago during my time there. I was deeply touched by Reverend Smala's sermons. That's me, I guess. And the warmth of the congregation. Okay. Unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, I was not able to bid goodbye. I had to catch a flight. But that's a nice sentence. He was touched by the warmth of the...
Yeah.
And I got another one, but he was very nice. My wife and I attend Mass at St. Gregory on Sunday, 9:30. I believe that you were at the Mass on past Sunday the 14th and gave the homily. I enjoy your homilies because you are always very personal and easy to relate to. But I do take exception on your view of the Big Bang Theory. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because it was the Sunday of the eclipse.
Okay.
My homily was based on the eclipse, how very perfect it is. And I was talking about St. Thomas Aquinas' design and order in the universe. And I wasn't too big on the Big Bang Theory. But at least he was friendly, and then he could, but I've been in communication. But at least, see, people are listening.
Yeah.
They're listening. I mean, he doesn't agree with my position, and fine, I wrote back again and sent him. But that's the kind of people that come here. They're not just bump on the logs.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful what you say. And not that you have to be careful, but at least they're listening.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite memory of your time here? I know you haven't been here super long, but do you have a favorite?
4 year. Well, the memory is that people are very warm. They're very nice. I feel very much at home here.
What is something about St. Gregory that you think a lot of people might not know, or something maybe that's kind of surprising?
Well, most Catholic churches, they go to Mass, they say the Mass is ended, go in peace, and they're out of there to that parking lot as fast as they could go. Whereas here, they stick around and they'll talk, and we have coffee and on certain Sundays, and they like to go to that. So the difference is it's a friendlier atmosphere. And I think the Catholics now, and I think all parishes, they see that half the pews are empty.
Yeah.
So I think they're trying to hold on to their parish.
Yeah.
They're trying to make it a friendly family environment.
Okay, and then I just have a couple more questions. It's about supposed to be about 40 minutes or so.
I'm gonna bring you to the church.
I know. I don't have class until one or noon, little afternoon. So, what do you think is the most beautiful thing about the church?
The very beauty of it. When I bring you in there, these churches are magnificent. This church was built. Monsignor Clausen had a vision. And it's there's a lot of things in there from Germany. It's a very German parish.
Yeah.
Now, St. Ida was built by an Irish pastor. It's a beautiful, a French Gothic style building. And but this one, you'll see the German influence.
Okay. And then, is there a certain piece of art in the church that you find yourself particularly drawn to, or?
I would say the altar.
The altar? Okay.
Well, not the altar the priest says Mass at, the big original altar. They call that the reredus.
Okay.
The rear, you'll see when we go there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, I think that's about good for the interview. So thank you, and I'm going to stop recording.